Good morning, and I greet you in Christ's name this morning. Special welcome to all you visitors. Some new faces I've seen here this morning, so welcome. Today's Mother's Day, and this sermon isn't a sermon about a mother, but a brother. But I want to acknowledge all the mothers in our life and how they contribute to the church, to our families, and beyond. So blessings on each and every one of you mothers this morning. So we continue our study in John, 1 John 3 this morning. This morning's text is verses 11 through 18. And I want to back up a little bit to the last sermon of being a child of God. And the last section of that kind of is a shoe-in to the sermon here this morning about loving one another. But in the last sermon, I laid out what it means to be a child of God. And some of those things is one who purifies himself, one who has a new relationship with sin, one who practices righteousness, and then the last one here, the one who loves his brother in verse 10. Whoever does not love his brother is not of God, it tells us. In other words, to be a child of God and to practice righteousness, you must love your brother. It's a prerequisite to being a child of God. We must love our brother. At this time, we're going to read the passage and be on look how John uses this story of Cain to illustrate how righteousness and love go hand in hand, love to the brother. Starting at verse 18, verses 11, chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. Let's read that at this time. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, who murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So starting off here, John states that this is the message you have heard from the beginning. And if we go back to the first chapter of John, he introduces these three epistles. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. This beginning he's talking about, this was the first encounter he had with a firsthand experience with Christ. This is what he heard from Christ from the beginning, firsthand. And one of the things Christ said, and John writes this in the Gospel of John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the New Testament love we see of Christ is a lot different than we see in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you hear eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But in the New Testament, Christ is bringing on this new idea of loving your enemies, doing kind to those that persecute you. And that's some of that love, brotherly love we're going to read of here and discuss here this morning. So, why is the story of Cain used here? You know, we're talking about love and hate here, but we're talking about murder with Cain and his brother. Verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know, the world hates us just as Cain hates Abel's righteousness. Verse 12, don't be surprised, brother, that the world hates you. The world hates us for the same reason Cain hated his brother. The world sees in us a righteousness. And Cain saw that righteousness, and it was jealousy that built up in him and led to murder. You know, in the same way, the world hates us because they see the righteousness that's in us, and it's different from the world. You know, we walk to the beat of a different drum, and that doesn't set well with the world. At this time, I want to invite you to Genesis, and we're going to read the account of Cain and Abel. That's chapter 4 of Genesis, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of sheep, and Cain the worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in a field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." So we see here Cain's offering. And I want to speak about these two offerings that were given. Abel's, and it was interesting that Cain was actually the first to present his offering. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but he at least led the initiative to bring forth this offering to God. Cain's offer was costly. It was showing his devotion. You know, as you think of a shepherd, they nurture the flock and they care for their sheep. Very tender animals that need a lot of care, and the best lamb was selected, so his pride of the hand of his work was chosen, and he gave from the heart. You know, and when a sacrifice is giving, and I've kind of struggled with, you know, what does this look like, because this is before the Mosaic law of sacrifice, you know, for the sin. We also see, like, the sin of the garden. You know, an animal had to die to give them clothing. An animal was sacrificed. So I don't know at this time what it meant when you sin. How was reconciliation brought before God? Through this, it looks like there was a sacrifice that was given. But in order for a sacrifice to take hold or to amount to anything, something innocent must take the place of your sin. So, and this is propitiation, the sacrifice that bears God's wrath and turns it into favor. In Leviticus, we read about this, the sacrifice of blood that has to be made for the atonement. Leviticus 17, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by this life, by the life." And then in Hebrews 9:22, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." So I say all this not to say that I think Cain's sacrifice would have been accepted by God, but there's this picture of Abel's sacrifice, of the shedding of blood to cover the sin. And with this offering, God was pleased. God was pleased with Abel's offering. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. And God commending him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Unlike Abel's offering, Cain was the bare minimums. If Abel brought the prime rib, Cain brought some cold vegetables on the side. It was his attitude, though, after this rejection of his sacrifice or his offering that revealed his evil heart. And it says in the Old Testament, in the New King James Version, his countenance fell. Here it says his face fell, but his countenance fell. There was a physical change in his face when he saw his brother's sacrifice was accepted and his was denied. There was jealousy that moved into his heart and hatred for his brother. But it's interesting that God, after this happens, God pursues him. And God desires restoration with Cain at this point. And we see that in verses 6 and 7. In chapter 4, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." It's at this point that Cain has two choices to make. He can turn from his self-centered life, repent, and restore himself to God and seek forgiveness of the feelings towards his brother. Or he can give in to his already evil heart and continue to do what he desires. And I would say it would be at this point that Cain was starting to have evil thoughts of murdering his brother. And what does he do after this? He kills his brother. And right after that, he lies to God. God asks him, "Where is your brother?" He says, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" If we allow jealousy to build up in ourselves against our brothers, this will eventually lead to hate, will manifest itself into greater things. Verse 15 says that anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. That's a pretty high bar. You know, God sees hatred towards a brother as murder. You know, we like to break down our sins into categories. Hatred's down here, murder's up here. But for God, it's like it's a level playing field. Sin is sin, and to God, he hates every bit of it. Do we think like Cain? Do we try to appease God by doing as little as possible? Cain could have bought a sheep from his brother and presented a more righteous sacrifice, but Cain was just trying to get by. He was trying to, I guess, do what was right, what he thought in his mind, instead of seeking a relationship with God and doing what God desired instead of what he desired. God doesn't just want us to get along with one another as brothers. He wants us to love each other. And we all have sin crouching at the door. And you know, it's the same sin that made the sin of Adam that Cain had in his life is the same sin that we have and the desires that we have in our life today, thousands of years later. And that same sin, if we let it go without making things right, will fester. And that same sin can make us do things that we think we could never do, like murder, like committing adultery. How are we dealing with that sin? Spurgeon puts it this way: "Every man who hates another has the venom of murder in his veins. He may never actually take the deadly weapons into his hand and destroy life. But if he wishes his brother were out of the way, if he would be glad if such a person no longer existed, that feeling amounts to murder in the judgment of God." As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are going to have relationship issues. That's a given. But what John is trying to teach us in this story is to love God as Abel loved God, to seek righteousness. And that kind of love and righteousness will overflow so much that it'll cover up our brother's trespasses against us. When I think of, we've all had experiences where a brother has sinned against us with evil intent, and I found in those situations not to look at it as, you know, there's something deeper going on here. This brother is probably hurting in some other area of his life, and that helps me kind of look beyond the trespass into actually caring for and loving the brother. And if we do that, we can ultimately bring restoration with a brother. To live above with saints we love, oh, that would be glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. I saw that. So in comparison to eternity, we have a short time here on earth in the spectrum of everything. Let's spend this time full of love and unity for our brothers. I mean, if we're going to spend eternity with them, we just as well get started here on earth. There's some scripture here speaking about loving our brothers. 1 John, page or two back, chapter 2, verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. And then we see in Mark 12, 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater than these. There's a beautiful parallel of Christ's love for us in verse 16. And we know love that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. I don't think this is saying that we physically lay down our life and die for our brother, although that does happen, and that's a beautiful picture too. But there's a dying to self that we have for our brother. If he sins against us, you know, our natural reaction is to lash back and to fight against him. But Christ wants us to lay down our life, lay down those feelings, die to self, and serve that brother. And through that love that is shown, that Christ-like love, that is when restoration starts to take place and healing. Continuing that love in verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? If we see a brother in need and we do nothing, this is the sin of omission. When we know the right thing to do, yet we do nothing about it. James chapter 4, 17 speaks into this. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You know, we think of the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, where the robbers beat up the man and the priest and the Levite just step over him. They're too busy. You know, although they claim to be godly men, and within that they should care for this brother, but they step over him and keep on moving. But it's the Good Samaritan who stops and heals and takes the role of healing his brother and caring for him. John continues on to this thought of the love for the brother in verse 18 and caring for one another. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Sometimes words just aren't enough to show a brother that we love or care for him. Sometimes we need to go beyond that and show them we care by our actions. James 2:15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is it? You know, sometimes here in church, one of the best ways we can show love to a brother is going to their house. We have different small groups, and one of the things we do in our small groups is go help, you know, somebody in our small group that needs help, whether that's cleaning up the house or they may be older and can no longer do things. That is an act of love that we are talking about here, not just in word, but in action. We live in a community where this is also practiced very much. If you think of a farmer, a tragedy in a farm, whether it's a structural fire or a poultry house where all the birds die, you know, you don't just call up that farmer and just say, hey, sorry to hear about what happened, best of luck. You get boots on the ground. You go there and you help clean up the mess and show them you love them and care for them. I had a buddy who had two poultry houses that were flooded, and they were 64 by 500, pretty big houses. And he was just, pretty devastated from everything that happened. And I forget the exact amount, but the size of these houses, I called him, I said, hey, I can't be there till 3 o'clock, and I'll let you know, when I'm leaving, whatever. By 3 o'clock that day, both of those houses were cleaned up to the dirt. German, I think you were there helping. Rotten chickens, by that time they were decomposed. Probably the nastiest job you could think of was happening there. But here comes the whole community with skid loaders, trucks, and cleaned up the houses before I could even get there. That is showing love to your brother. And you, people that he didn't even know, and I just remember how overwhelmed he was with that expression of love from his community of people. Some he barely even knew came and did that. That's the kind of love we're speaking of here. I had to think with this act of love and Christ, you know, as we see Christ prophetically proclaimed through the Old Testament, and what would it be like if all that love was spoken of and Christ never came and died for us? You know, what kind of love would that be that was spoken, but it was never acted on? But I am sure glad he did. That act of kindness that Christ did on the cross changed the world, past, present, and future. So, what is our charge? Verses 23 and 24 wasn't in our text, but I'd like to read that at this time. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he gave us. So what is his commandment? To believe in his Son and to love one another. And how do we know we are abiding in him? By the Spirit that lives in us. You know, if our heart is full of hate for a brother, there is no room for the Spirit to dwell in us. If we are at odds with a brother or have hatred towards him, if there's room for that in our heart, you know, God said to Cain, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is to have you. But I'm going to go as far as to say, if you have that feeling in your mind, the door's already open and Satan is already working in your mind on that sin to that brother. And that sin will continue to fester and fester if that's not taken care of. And the same sin that made Cain kill his brother could make you do acts that you probably thought you were not capable of. So what are you doing with your relationships to your brother? Is it continuing to fester in your mind? Or are you going to take action? Are you going to restore that brother? God desires a relationship with us, and we should desire the same loving relationship with our brothers. I'd like to close in John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's have a song.